Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton of On Texas Football. This week's State of the Program, our weekly episode, State of the Program, brought to you by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We appreciate his support. Guys, it's been an interesting week for Texas. You look back at it, and we can kind of parse it out into several different pieces. Top of mind, the SEC celebration was huge, okay? Leading into that was the Jim Schlossnagel versus A&M, you know, tete-a-tete, whatever you want to call that. They went mano-a-mano a little bit. And then recruiting also came into play for the Longhorns. So those are the three big topics of the last week. I kind of want to go a little bit deeper on each of them and talk about why I think each of those are meaningful to Texas athletics and where we're at right now. I want to start really with the SEC celebration, and just I don't want to go too long on this, but boy, when Texas throws a party, Texas throws a party. We were there, Jerry, you, me, and CJ. We all met not only and talked a little bit with Chris Del Conte. We met the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, as well. A number of different players walked by of different sports, by the way, as well as everybody from fans, et cetera. CJ, you were doing a little man on the street interviews with folks. What were some of the key takeaways for you from that celebration? Just, you know, from a big picture perspective.
Yeah, I think Texas fans are excited to not be having to play Iowa State and Kansas State and Kansas of the world. No disrespect, but there's a level up that Texas is going to be experiencing when they enter the SEC. And, of course, you know, when you talk about it, Florida, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama. I mean, these are big marquee programs in all sports, right? We just saw the College World Series feature two SEC programs. And there's obviously Kentucky, LSU, the Mississippi's, Vanderbilt. You go down the list, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, and then beyond that, you know, women's basketball, volleyball, softball, some really, really talented programs across the SEC. And it's, I would say, a little bit more fun, right? It's tough to go out there and bicker with schools that may not have as passionate of a program or fan base at the moment. And right now, I don't think you are lacking any passion in the SEC. And that's exactly what excites Texas fans. And that was kind of the sentiment I received whenever I was out there asking some folks what gets them, you know, kind of excited and giddy looking forward to the SEC. It's that passion and those upcoming rivalries that they'll face and kind of a birth, if you will, in the SEC.
Jerry, what about you? Your thoughts on that celebration?
I think the SEC is what fans know, even though Texas has been in the Big 12 for so long. Anybody that's a football fan, when you turn on the college football playoffs and the national championship game, you've seen Alabama, you've seen Georgia. Obviously, you've seen LSU. I thought there'd be more trash talking of the A&M rivalry coming back. I think people are excited about it, but I think I wish I'd have taken the mic and talked more trash about it. But no, it's I would have loved to. But I think people are excited just in general. They know that the SEC is the top conference in college athletics. And, you know, what's interesting, I think, is people understand that football obviously is going to dominate. It does dominate, and it should. But people with the Schloss coming to Texas from A&M, that really heightens the awareness in baseball more so than it was, too. Because people are already talking about the SEC and baseball. That's the toughest sport going right now is baseball and the SEC. But football dominates it. But I thought this, too, is it was really good. One of my takeaways was, when the coaches were walking by to go sign autographs around 4 p.m., you had Jared Elliott and the beach volleyball coach walk
Stein
by.
Metzger.
Yeah, Stein Metzger, 5 national championships. I mean, you think about the collection of talent coaching that Chris Del Conte has accumulated in Austin, headed into the SEC, and you know athletics is in the right place to go compete right away. Year one in all sports in the SEC. That was a big takeaway for me. Texas is prepared to go compete right away. You're not going into the league limping. You're going in ready to compete in every sport.
Yeah, 3 of 4 last Director's Cups Texas has won. Certainly, whether it's the volleyball coach, beach volleyball coach, baseball coach now with Jim Schlossnagel, you know, you look around the group and it's very impressive. Here was my takeaway, and I want to get y'all's thoughts about it a little bit. Texas knows how to throw a party. I have to say 20 to 30,000 people showed up throughout the day at least. And then you see the drone show at night. So what does that do? What does that even matter that Texas can do that? You look at Oklahoma's in comparison and they have 3 to 5,000 people show up, right? Here's what it does for me. It's Chris Del Conte drawing in additional new fans. Like, look, all that glitz and glamour, that's not really for a 54-year-old guy like me, right, to become a Texas fan. But I can guarantee you some of the people we saw there with young kids that saw that, they'll become Texas fans because something that happened on the University of Texas campus that was a spectacle. And that's what Chris Del Conte and Texas Athletics made that on Saturday, on Sunday. And so I actually think that that's why that celebration was very meaningful in my part. I mean, I became a Texas fan very young in my life, right? I think we all saw that or something that got that there. I saw a number of young guys out there, young kids, male, female, all of them. And they were awed by the spectacle that is Texas sports. And so I think from that standpoint, that's why that celebration.
And Bobby, to that point, a lot of those people hadn't been born or were very young when Vince Young scored against USC. TJ Ford took Texas to the Final Four. Houston Street and those guys won a national championship in baseball.
Yeah, I agree.
So, to your point, Bobby, it's about pulling in that next group of fans. And I think the SEC is a great way to do that. And I think that's maybe Chris Del Conte, outside of hiring coaches, is maybe his greatest strength and communication, is pulling fans together to watch the University of Texas, cheer for the University of Texas, bring in new fans. I'm telling you, Vivo Boulevard's awesome before football games. It's a great place. That's going to make kids Texas fans that come with families or their parents at a young age. I think Chris does a great job with that.
Yeah, they're getting that next generation. That's what that was for as much as anything. I didn't see through it at the outset. I'll be honest. Whenever they talked about the celebration, okay, it's going to be fun. It'll be a time for everybody to get out there. But I thought he did a great job, and they did a great job of kind of building the next generation. That's part one. That I want to go over with the SEC celebration. Next piece I want to talk about is recruiting. Before I do that, however, I want to talk about our sponsor. Each and every state of the program is brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy at the Lowy Law Firm. The Lowy Law Firm helps people if they've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, ATV accident, motorcycle, any which way, and you think you might be due some compensation or want to talk to a legal expert, reach out to Adam and his group at LowyLawFirm.com. They have more than 20 years of successful experience helping people in the state of Texas and even around the country as well find help when they've been hurt in an accident. That's LowyLawFirm.com. All right, recruiting. Jerry and CJ, Texas at 13 commitments currently. We know that. We think Brandon Brown is going to decommit and possibly go to LSU. Oklahoma's been involved. Texas is trying its very best to get out. Jerry, you had an update on that situation. I want to hit that. And then I want to talk about defensive recruiting next, but start with Brandon Brown so you can give people an update.
Yeah, yesterday we reported that July 4th would be the official of his announcement date, his final commitment date. Somebody in the family texted me earlier and said it's actually going to be July 5th now, which adds a little more intrigue, but I don't know if it'll do anything for the final decision. I think LSU continues to be the favorite there, especially with a couple of key family members that really believe in Bo from a development standpoint and believing in their son earlier than some others did standpoint. That's important there. Is that belief in their son earlier or brother earlier than some other colleges did when schools in the state of Florida were on the fence. Is this guy 6'1"? Is he tall enough? How big is he going to get? I mean, that's what was going on at the University of Florida, where he had multiple family members play. That's why he's not going to Florida. So that, I think, is big, and that's a feather in Bo's cap. Texas, Kenny Baker, they've been in contact within the last 24 hours more than once. They're still trying to fight all the way until July 5th now, when he announces, and Oklahoma also is the other team that's mentioned. I don't think it'll be Tennessee. It'll be one of the three, but I still think LSU's the favorite.
All right, so that would take – if he does indeed, Jerry, go back and commit to LSU, as we kind of think that that's the way this is heading right now on the 5th, that would take Texas ostensibly back to 12 commitments. And a lot of people – and this is where I want to go next in the state of the program. A lot of people are taking issue right now with the Texas defensive line recruiting. They're saying, okay, wow, we're cut from behind. DJ Sanders obviously still on the board, a young man out of Belleville that Texas wants, but others have already opted to go elsewhere. Okay, but is it just defensive tackle recruiting that people are concerned about? Some people are trying to say, well, Texas defensive recruiting as a whole has been off. And that's where I come out separately, CJ and Jerry. I actually think the Texas defensive recruiting on the whole has been fairly good. You've got the two top edges you wanted.
Yeah.
And Smith Orogbo, who just committed on Monday, as well as Lance Jackson. Those are the two Texas went after. Make no mistake. Then you have Bo Barnes, who is, if it's not the top linebacker, one of the top two or three in the state, if not country, that you wanted, right, out of Dallas Skyline. At safety, you hope to get Cade Phillips this weekend on July 6th. He announces out of Fort Bend Hightower. He looks like he was the top guy on your board, okay? You also have Nathan Tillman, who you like a lot, ran a 10-7, 100 meter. He's still on the board right now. And then you, at corner, you have Caleb Chester out of Fort Bend Marshall that you definitely wanted. Now, the question I have, they still have other guys on the board too, Madden Faramo, Riley Pettijohn, Jonathan Cunningham. Maybe they didn't, you know, completely domino on defensive recruiting, but I'm telling you, that is still a pretty stout class at the very top rung of guys you wanted. CJ, your thoughts on whether this is a defensive issue or just a defensive tackle issue people are looking at right now?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. One, I think obviously defensive tackle takes kind of the headlines at the moment, right? You know, you're looking at in a couple hours, maybe not having a single body in that room. A week into July, that's probably not where you want to sit. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you look at the Texas class defensively in 2025, and you say, to your point, Bobby, you have some really, really solid pieces, right? The edges, Bo Barnes, you got some talent there. That front seven looks great. But then you look a little bit bigger picture, and maybe you go back to January and where you kind of envisioned what would have been a best-case scenario class. And, well, Devin Sanchez, not in the fold. Dorian Brew, he's going to Eugene. Jonah Williams might be actually a baseball kid when it comes down to it in 11 days when that MLB draft comes around. So there's big names that maybe you expected to be closer for a commitment with that are probably not going to be considering Texas. Riley Pettijohn's another one. Who knows what happens there? Right now, USC's the one making a lot of noise. Ohio State's been sticking around much longer than anticipated as well. So it's, again, I think it trickles down a little bit. And I don't think it's a huge issue defensively, at least not now. Because, again, you can go back the last three cycles. Texas has added 11 to 12 guys out of that November-December portion of the cycle. All of them except for one have been on the defensive side of the ball. So they've come around and kind of come full circle late in cycles to kind of bolster that defensive room each year. Again, I think right now you got great pieces. You got a great foundation on the defensive side of the ball. But at the same time, you're missing what could be a very special class there based off of some of these guys making decisions earlier previously. Jerry, I know we've talked about this as well. I want to get your thoughts on this because I think you got a great stance here.
Yeah, Jerry, my question more specifically to add to CJ here for you is this. Is it just defensive tackle recruiting you're concerned with, or is there another position we're looking at corner that looks a little light outside of Caleb Chester? So my point is top-tier guys are the most important thing typically, and I think Texas has done well there at most positions. So your thoughts overall?
Yeah, I think D-line and defensive back recruiting a little bit for me. I think linebacker, you know, look, you only took one last year, so you got to get two or three in this class. Ideally, the number was three, so we'll see what happens there. But to CJ's point, I mean, Ty-Anthony Smith was a flip last year after A&M coaching change. Kobe Black was a November, December commitment, right? That went far longer. Wardell Mack was a flip. So there's a lot of things in play for Texas. The issue for Texas on the defensive line is if you go back in on guys, well, you're not going to go flip a kid from LSU or A&M. That's not going to happen. So a Chase Sims just committed to A&M. If a Dylan Battle goes to LSU, you're not just going to walk in and flip those guys. You're going to be dependent on the coaching carousel and maybe going to see if you can get a Derry Norris away from Georgia Tech where he's committed if he has a really big senior year, as I expect. I expect more programs to come in on him. So the problem is, I think it wasn't this first class of D-line there for Kenny Baker and Sark together. I think that you got to take more shots on goal in the 26 class. I think that's my issue right now. Is that there's some really good players you didn't bring in for official visits. If you don't bring those guys in for official visits, they're committing elsewhere. And then you're up against it if they commit to schools that are your rivals or who you're playing against. Those guys aren't going to flip back to you unless a coach leaves or something catastrophic happens in those programs. So I think that's the issue is you want four high school D linemen. Where's that number going to come from? Because that net has gotten a lot smaller. Texas lost out on, but the guys that went to other schools or going to other schools that you'd maybe come back in on that you won't be able to flip.
So, Jerry, my question is this, though. Are you concerned about defensive recruiting as a whole or just certain spots on defense right now?
Certain spots. I think Lance Jackson and Smith Orogbo, tremendous edge prospects. You know, look, those two guys and Javion Hilson, they were the top. You were hoping to get two of those guys. You got Lance Jackson. You got Smith Orogbo. Those guys can both be five-star prospects when it's all said and done. And coming off of what Texas got last year, I think Edge is doing great. So I think D-line, linebacker, not concerned at this point in time because I do think they'll feel needs. I think you got to watch that coaching carousel, see what happens at USC this year. A couple of things that could work in your favor there, depending on what Madden Faramo does, what Jonathan Cunningham does, what Riley Pettijohn does. But that one doesn't look like Texas as of the third when he's announcing on the sixth. We'll see if that changes. Corner, they're gonna have to flip somebody. Now they flipped Wardell Mack last year. They got Kobe Black, but they were always in a good position for Kobe Black. He just delayed his announcement. Now you're gonna end up having to go back in and flip somebody at corner more than likely. So that's what you're up against. If Ohio State doesn't have a great season on the field, could something happen there? So I think they're dependent on some things happening to help them. So is that a bit of a concern? Slightly. But I do think they evaluate at such a high level that they're going to find really good players on the defensive side.
The one thing that stands out to me and that has Texas moving in maybe a sneaky, you know, good position here is that staff continuity is something that you expect this entire staff to be around next year, right? Or at least in the key positions, your key recruiters at the moment will be on staff all the way through the fall. You look again, there's question marks at USC. What happens with Oregon and that staff if, you know, a Florida job opens up? You know, Texas has been the beneficiary of, you know, Mario Cristobal's departure to Miami. You go out and you add two big pieces that are going to book in your offensive line this year. Obviously, Corey Raymond's departure from Florida left you two defensive backs in the 2024 class. So right now, that core group of recruiters on this staff, whether it be a Kyle Flood, a Jeff Banks, you know, Kenny Baker's done a good job, Johnny Nansen as well. You know, that core group right now is going to be sticking around for the 2025 season and throughout, whereas other schools, I think, may not be in that same situation. And again, that just kind of goes back to that defensive class kind of filling up as the cycle moves on and progresses.
All right. Thanks for that, guys. I still come back to the fact that I'm not concerned about defensive recruiting or offensive recruiting, certainly. I am concerned at certain spots.
Yeah.
So there's a difference there. And there's a time when I would be concerned about the whole darn thing. This ain't right. You know, this is Rod Babers calls it first world problems. That's what we're talking about here. Exactly. Because you already got your quarterback, you got your running backs, you got a bevy of wide receivers that you think you got a shot at, and you're still fighting for these other guys. So I think that that's a good way to put it. All right. Last thing I want to mention and talk about here is what we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks. SEC Media Days coming in 2 weeks in Dallas, by the way, held in Dallas on purpose, we think. The SEC wants to claim Dallas. Guess what? The Big 12 is having its Media Days where? In Dallas. So very interesting that that's going on. But the SEC Media Days coming up. Steve Sarkisian will be at the podium. We think several Longhorns will be there with him, as is customary. Interesting. But here's my bigger take on this. We looked at yesterday a number of elite players that got mocked in the first round of the NFL draft. Okay. I think 15 of 32 in this NFL mock, according to ESPN, come out of the SEC. Three of those are from Texas. Okay. Not only Quinn Ewers was mock number 10 overall, Kelvin Banks was the top one off the board at Texas at number 5 overall, and then Isaiah Bond at number 25, all the way down to the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, so that's three first rounders. Jerry, you made mention on this morning's Coffee and Football that you think seven, eight guys might be top two or three round picks in this upcoming cycle for Texas. That adds to the number that they had, the double digit number they had this past season drafted. Where is this part of what Texas needs to do to establish itself so that they're not worried every year about defensive tackle or cornerback recruiting? Is that kind of where it needs to come out of?
Yeah, I think so. I think the more drafts Texas Sarkisian has, the more 8, 9, 10 guy drafts he's going to have. And that makes it easier, not just to recruit the high school level, but the portal. And I know the arguments, well, how many guys has Dan Lanning put at Oregon? Well, yeah, there's some truth in that. But I think when you look at Texas, putting double-digit guys in the draft consecutive years, which I think Texas expects to do next year, would be huge for this program. And it's a developmental piece is what you really have to sell if you're Texas. And that's what Sark sells. Well, if you look, last year going into the draft, Byron Murphy, Tavondre Sweat, Jonathan Brooks, they weren't considered first or second round guys. Those guys were developed at Texas. What happens if a Cam Williams starts 1 year and goes in the first round or second round? That's a really good look for Texas. What if DJ Campbell's pro ready after this year? It's a really good look for Texas. So you can kind of – and Ethan Burke, who was a late flip, if he ends up having a little bit more of an ascending year and says, you know what, I'm off to the NFL and goes in the first three rounds, that's a good thing for Texas. The other thing is if guys transfer in and get drafted. Like A.D. Mitchell – even A.D. Mitchell last year heading into the season wasn't considered a first-round pick. He hadn't been healthy enough to be a first-round pick. But then he ends up being a first-round pick after his season at Texas, which he – wasn't projected to be at Georgia because he'd been hurt. So I just think, you know, look, Isaiah Bond comes in, has a good year, gets drafted in the first round like he's projected to, or second. Those are great things for this program. And I think that's going to be one of the major calling cards for Steve Sarkisian in recruiting moving forward is development within the program, whether that's Torrey Becton, nutritionist, coaching staff. Developing pro players goes a long way in recruiting.
All right, good stuff there, Jerry. All right, I tell you what, that's going to do it for this week's State of the Program. I got to all of the topics I wanted to, big picture recruiting, the real value of that SEC celebration, Jerry, as well as the individual spots that CJ talked about as well. All right, want to say thank you once again to our sponsor. That's Adam Lowy, the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, automobile accident of any type, give Adam and his group a call, LowyLawFirm.com. 20-plus years of experience they've had being successful lawyers representing clients. All right, for Jerry. Jerry, I got to say, I'm jealous of your background right now. I didn't mention that.
This one wasn't a fake one. It's a real one.
Yeah, I see the boats going on back there and the palm trees in between. That's quite a view there. CJ, thanks for your time as well. That's been the State of the Program on Texas Football. For Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. Hook 'em.